Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by one of my favorite interviews that I've had in this journey covering the Colorado Buffalo, Scotty McKnight, who's out in Los Angeles making money moves out there. And Scotty, we were just talking before we hit record. It's so good to see you, man.
It's good to see you too. I love my days in Boulder. Stand out as some of the best days. And you were a big part of that, seeing you after all the practices, after all the games. So it's great to see you. Glad to see you're still crushing it. And happy to talk with you.
Yeah, for the folks that are newer Colorado fans, Scotty McKnight played receiver for the Buffaloes from 06 to 2010, redshirted in there and set a lot of school records, won a lot of awards. And now you're on to the next chapter of your life. I'm curious for the folks that did watch you play at CU, what's been going on since you graduated from CU? Break it down for us.
Since I graduated from CU, I think the biggest thing was I immediately started draft prepped and was drafted by the New York Jets in seventh round. I tore my knee my rookie year on Halloween, so there was no trick or treating that occurred that year for me. I then came back, and at that time, I had kind of been exploring writing and really like scripted television. So I started working on a project, and then came back to the Jets my second year, and I broke my kneecap in the same knee. So at that point, I kind of made a decision of, hey, look, I feel like I've maximized my ability here in football and lifespan, and I'm gonna, protect the body as much as I can at this point and shift into entertainment. So I ended up selling a scripted project to CBS that was kind of loosely based around my college experience and college football in general. And it was about diverse personalities converging in a D1 locker room and kind of the overarching theme of the NCAA. So it was kind of timely at the time. That show didn't get made at CBS, but it got me hired to work on CSI. So I wrote for CSI for 2 years, and then I started this company, Goat Farm Media, which is essentially a media company that empowers athletes to tell their stories, whether it's premium documentaries like, Tua Tagovailoa, his documentary on Fox, or some of our original programs that you'll see with like Drafted is a series that we do on Goat Farm, Exciting Mics, Real Ones with Fred Warner. So partnering with elite NFL college athletes to kind of tell their stories and build IP around them.
That's awesome. And at some point, you came across Julian Juju Lewis, who is now the starting quarterback in Boulder. How did that process begin?
That's a good story. The Tua doc had just come out on Fox, and I got a DM one day from a kid, Julian Lewis, who was, I saw an eighth grader who was verified, and quickly kind of looked at his stuff. I'm like, man, this middle schooler looks really good. Went on YouTube. I'm like, dang, he looks like really good. So I saw that he had like three offers at the time, and the DM basically said like, hey, I watched the Tua doc. Would you, be interested in documenting my high school journey? And at first, I was like, man, this kid, I like the, I like the forward, aggressiveness of like, I'm gonna go. I need a doc, So, I got on the phone with him and his dad. I was like, call me with your dad because you're 14 years old. And we started talking, and I got to know TC very well and just interact with him a little bit. And didn't really put too much forward sight on it. Just like, oh, he's someone I should look out for. Maybe we'll catch up and film something. He then just so happened to be at Elite Week, which is an off-season event that I usually film with a bunch of NFL players that come in, quarterbacks, receivers, from all over the country. Most of them represented by David Mulgeta over at Athletes First. So Julian's quarterback coach was working with, CJ Stroud and Jordan Love and a bunch of these top, Malik Willis, a bunch of these guys at the time. And Julian stepped in as a 14-year-old, and I was like, I have never seen anything like this. And I've been around elite quarterback play my entire life as a receiver. So I'd never seen anything like that in terms of his ability, natural ability. And it wasn't necessarily like the physical traits that stood out. It was The way that he could throw, his accuracy, the arc, the types of throws he can make off platform. It was really impressive. So at that point, I filmed a video that we put out on TikTok that was like NFL stars react to Julian Lewis as a 14-year-old phenom. And that went extremely viral. And then I just decided, I sat him and his dad down in my hotel room and was like, tell me more about what's going on in your life. And he told me he was going to play for Trevor Lawrence's former head coach and start at Carrollton High School as a true freshman in high school. And then the NIL laws were all going on of like, you can't make money. It was like, there's a lot of stuff at stake. I'm like, this feels a little bigger. So I took that project to Warner Brothers and attached them. And then I started filming like his first day of practice, his first day of school, like his 15th birthday, like everything. And ultimately, HBO signed on to the project with a really, really probably the most talented director in the space, Robert Alexander, who did the Kid Cudi doc, the Shaq doc, Lewis Hamilton doc, The Shop. He's phenomenal. So there's this really cool team, and it turned into this project on Julian where, we've documented his high school career. We've documented some times there in Boulder now, and then that'll be distributed in the future. Pretty cool, overarching long form look at the evolution of an athlete, Julian, in this circumstance in the NIL era.
That's awesome. I got to give Julian credit because I know he had to kind of take a backseat to Caden Salter really last season, but when he got the opportunity, he really ran with it, Scotty. Like he started to really mature and kind of take on the reins of this program, and he's kind of looked to as the future in Boulder. For you watching his development, I know that in this space, you've got to compartmentalize at times. You got to kind of remove yourself from kind of the emotion of things. But what is it like for you watching his development at Colorado, given kind of your history with Julian?
Well, you're right. I have to compartmentalize it. There's the first time we took like an unofficial visit to the school, we were documenting it. And I was getting chills as a former player, like walking up the same hill into Folsom Stadium. So there's like that component that was really cool. But then obviously as a filmmaker, I need to stay like neutral in what's going on around. So once he landed at Colorado, obviously very excited for his future there, very excited for what Coach Prime has got going with the program. Understanding that he reclassified and he was 17 for a majority of the season, like what I've seen from Julian from the time he was 14 during his first game, like he was playing against probably six guys on the other side of the football that were going to the SEC that were all older, his first game in high school. And what I'll say about him is like the moment's never too big for him. It never is. So he's very poised, he's very calculated. So seeing him kind of come in there, it's difficult as a younger guy to take that vocal leadership on, right? When you're dealing with 22, 23-year-old men. But I think he started to earn the respect of those guys with the way that he plays, and they saw the player that he was, and that he is. So I'm really excited for him just to take that next step as the guy, continue to mature into that leadership role, and then put them, on a path to win a bunch of football games and show off his talent and just, how I've always been. It's about winning. So I want to see them win a lot of games and him to have a ton of success. I'm excited for it.
We're all rooting for Julian because this is going to be a pivotal season for the Colorado Buffaloes coming up. I want to get back to your journey though, Scotty. And you're coming out of high school. You're committed to Boise State. I know your father played in college at UC Davis with Dan Hawkins. Was that kind of the connection there that initially bridged you to Boise State and then eventually Colorado?
It actually wasn't. So
Oh, wow. Okay.
they were teammates, but they weren't like very close. They didn't keep in touch or anything like that. I think they only crossed over for like a year at UC Davis. What actually was the connective tissue was the Elite 11. Cody was an underclassman who came to participate in the Elite 11, I think before his junior year of high school. And they conducted that down in Southern California. I don't know if they still do. Yeah, they still do. And I would always go catch at the Elite 11. So, when it was Stafford and Jay Cutler, it was cool for me to get exposure, Sanchez, the list goes on of the guys who've come through that kind of system, right? I just had exposure to it. Cody and I were two of the younger players there at the time, so we were throwing and catching a lot together. And I think it was like day 4 or 5, he ends up telling me that his dad is the head coach at Boise State. And I was like, you just held the punchline there, bro. So we got super close. And then as time kind of went on, Boise State became my first offer. They were having a ton of success. I'm not gonna lie, I love the uniforms. I love the blue field. So I was like, I took a trip up there. Thought it would be a good fit. They obviously threw the football a lot. And there were some other schools in play, but when Coach Hawk took the job at Colorado, I was looking at Oregon, I was looking at Cal, and quite frankly, I took one trip to Boulder and it had snowed the night before, but it was like 80 degrees. And I stepped foot on that campus and I was like, I am coming. It's like a feeling I got. I'm like, I am coming to school here. And I say that about most people. If you can get them to trip to Boulder, they're probably gonna want to go there.
That's awesome. Going back to high school, I think your team went 33-7 during your time there in high school at Tesoro High School in California. You were a 3-year letterman there. What stands out when you think about that time?
I think the coolest part, looking back, and gosh, I'm, old now. I just turned 38 and I got a third kid on the way. So thinking back to high school, there's a couple things that stand out. The coolest part, I think, was the guys that I played with on that high school team. Most of them were players I had played with from the time I was 7 years old. So we all went through this, and I think we lost like 3 games, like in that Pop Warner era. A lot of the guys went on to play in college or be professional baseball players. It was a really talented, cohesive unit. So I think probably my best memory is the CIF championship our junior year because we were a brand new school. People didn't really expect us to compete. We had a lot of younger guys on the team, and we ended up winning the whole deal. So I think that probably stands out as a really cool one because you look back on things and it's like, this is a guy I played with formative years who's still one of my best friends to this day. And we got to experience winning at, every level we could together.
You get to see you redshirt that first year, and then that first spring ball break your ankle. You go from that to being a freshman All-American. What was that transition like coming back from the injury and then getting your first, solid reps at the college level and, really knowing that you fit in at that level?
Yeah, gosh, it was difficult. That spring game, Jaleel Brown, call him out by name because I love him and he's still one of my close buddies. He got me, broke my ankle. I would be lying if I told you I wasn't discouraged. I think it was difficult to come back from. Training camp started and I was still kind of like fresh coming off it. And I remember being like deep on the depth chart. Like I was like fifth or sixth on the depth chart. And there's one day where I actually like thought I was gonna leave. Like I was gonna transfer because I was just, homesick, down and out, injury. And I called my dad and basically said, like, hey, I'm gonna come home. And he was like, you don't have a home to come home to. He's like, you made a commitment to the school. Like you can battle through it. Just, basically take it down to each day. Go take one person's job. Go make it undeniable to that staff of who you are, and you'll get there. And so I came down, went to practice, and I slowly started chipping away, and I got in the mix for that season. And then, I mean, just one of the greatest experiences in my athletic career was my first game because it was Rocky Mountain Showdown, in-state rival, Colorado State, packed in Vesco, like you're playing in an NFL stadium. And I think it was the first touchdown of the game. Like they blew coverage. Cody, someone I've known for a long time, perfect throw. It was like fingertip in the back of the end zone. Crowd erupts, like that set the stage. And that I remember that feeling. It's intoxicating where you have 70,000 people or whatever screaming, and you can incite that type of influence and bring that joy to the team. Like I was like, okay, like I belong here. And this is fun. I don't want this to stop. So that kind of kept propelling me of like, I don't ever want to lose this. Well, I got it.
I remember that touchdown well. Yeah,
Yeah.
and you really stepped up as a leader. You were actually recognized by the coaching staff as, you know, one of the team's top leaders going into your sophomore year, your third year in Boulder. And the production just was very consistent from there. 43 catches in 07, 46 catches in 08, 76 in 09, earning you second team all-conference honors. 50 receptions in 2010 as a senior and as a captain. And a couple times you got best interview. Scotty, did you get a some type of award for that? Because I definitely voted for you in both those years. So I'm gonna take a
Oh.
sliver of credit there because you are such an awesome interview, only because of that.
No, I appreciate that. They never gave me any hardware for that one. I think
Okay.
you'll notice the stuff I care most about is my Colorado stuff.
Not the best interview. Okay,
No, well,
that's
I didn't get that, or
not.
that'd be front and center. I'd say I did appreciate that though. And I still talk
Yeah.
to Curtis Snyder to this day.
Yeah, Curtis is awesome. Yeah.
Still talk stopped, love Curtis, talk to him. So I kind of I owe a lot to him. I feel like on that too, because he helped me. I'd never, back then especially, there wasn't a lot of interview media training like in high school. You weren't doing a ton of interviews. I think it's changed a little bit more today. Like the exposure's just
Yeah.
moved. So I feel like he helped prepare me a lot. And just what to say, like how to answer certain questions, to listen. Right, which is always important. So, no, I appreciated that award. Yeah, it's nice to be recognized.
So of those 215 collegiate catches, which have you thought about the most since you hung up your cleats?
The one that probably stands out is the one I broke the record for career catches all time. And it was because it's like, one of those full circle moments where it was. A, I always played with a very big chip on my shoulder. And my junior year against Colorado State, I got knocked out, like absolutely leveled on a play. And I did not have my best game and we lost and it was in Folsom. So that was one that like stuck with me the entire year until we played them. And it just so happened to line up to where I needed three catches in the first game of my senior year to become the all-time, career receptions leader at Colorado. So the third catch of that game just so happened to be a touchdown. So scoring a touchdown while breaking a significant record that was held by Michael Westbrook, someone who I looked up to, and was so well esteemed within the program. That one stands out, and my family was there, and we went on to win that game. So I'd say that one. There's a couple other that are just more like crazy, like tipped ball touchdowns. Like there's one against Oklahoma State where it's like that was just like the grace of God putting the ball in my lap. But no, like countless great memories of both on the field and like most importantly, like off the field as well with some of the friendships that I developed there, the lifelong friendships.
I talked about the consistency you played with in college, and I'm just curious, what did you pride yourself on the most as a receiver when you went out there, whether it was practice or game day? Like, was there something on your mind that really kind of drove you, that was part of what made you who you became as a football player?
Absolutely. I think I credit a lot of my success in football to my dad because he coached me and that young team like our entire career from the time we were seven through graduating high school. So everything that I knew and was as a player was, really, really from him. I think the thing that separated me was probably my work ethic. And then, like I said, I played with and I trained with a tremendous chip on my shoulder. So like I would stay after. I was a perfectionist. I wanted to know everything about, the offense and how that was operating, the defense, anything that could give me a slight advantage that could ultimately help the team, win. So I think being dependable, being reliant, I know they sound cliché, but like I usually would be in the right place at the right time, given what the defense was giving us. And I became a consistent option for the quarterback when they're under pressure or they need to know, this guy's going to be okay. I can go to Scotty. He's probably going to find a way to come down with this. So I think that was probably my biggest thing is like the way that I approach the game with that type of mental strength.
I remember when things would break down in the pocket and Cody Hawkins was looking for a receiver on third down. I was like, where's Scotty McKnight? Where is he at? That's where he's going. That's where he's going every time.
I'd find a way. I'd also like find a lot of joy in confusing like defensive backs like psychologically. So if I'm running a slant route, maybe I'm like subtly peeking to the other side here. And then maybe if I'm gonna run it the next time, I'm actually looking to the side that I'm gonna go to. So just like little games within the games of like, or if I'm gonna block, I make it look like a pass route, or I, on a route, I'll make it like I used to change things up to make it difficult for them to where they could never get relaxed, if that makes sense.
Like you mentioned, you got drafted by the New York Jets. Injuries came into play there. How do you fully move on from playing football to the next chapter of your life?
I'd say for me, it was, I know a lot of guys like struggle with that transition, and I think, I feel for that because it can be difficult when your identity is so wrapped up in who you are as a football player. For me, I never missed a game at Colorado, but I played through a lot of injuries, and then I'd have, a surgery to repair it in the off season. I had concussions while I was there, and then when it became the same knee back to back in the NFL, it was a ACL, MCL, PCL, meniscus. So like
Oof.
pretty sizable tear. And then I broke the kneecap in the same knee the next year. So I started to look at quite honestly, like, okay, do I think I like would I have projected myself to make it this far if I had to guess, like back in the day? Was that my goal? 100%. But the fact that I've made it to like the top of the top, that to me was like, took a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck, right? Like cards have to fall a certain way. So I viewed it as a chance and an opportunity for me to move on and kind of like I reached my full potential at this one thing that I love so much. And it's given me so many tools as a human being that I can carry into whatever I'm going to become passionate about long term. So it made it easy for me to kind of process and understand taking that next step and diving into entertainment and kind of using those and pushing it towards my new career.
And in that new career, you've had a chance to still kind of be involved a little bit with athletics. So, like, I'm curious, especially with your time around Julian Lewis, what does a player like you that played in the early 2000s in college football think about the current state of affairs that we have in college football?
Well, I think it's chaos right now.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, my viewpoint on it has always been if there's money, right, being made, like if there's money, if these kids are playing, like they should be compensated. That's undeniable. I think how you regulate that's another story. Like how you regulate, because certain schools are obviously going to pay more money and they're trying their best to do it right now, but I think it was the right move to allow guys to make money because they deserve to participate in it. And I think from what I've seen, a lot of the guys who are earning this money, they're using it the right way. They're helping their family. They have the right people in place to help them manage it. It's not the case for everyone, but I do think, for people that come from more difficult backgrounds and circumstances, when there is money to be made, and that can positively impact those around them and their loved ones and their family. That to me is a win. So, understanding that plays both sides, I think it's evolving, right? The laws are always changing around it, but I think there's a lot more good than bad that comes out of it in terms of, the equality.
Which former CU teammates do you still keep in touch with?
Oof. A lot of them. I just recently reconnected with Walter Boydo. Our kids go to the same school, and he was a senior when I was a freshman. So like that was kind of cool. I'd say, Demetrius Sumler is a very close friend of mine. Just
Is
got
he
to be
still
friends.
coaching out there?
Yeah, he's a defensive coordinator at San Diego State. He just
That's
got
awesome.
promoted. So was in Meech's wedding. David Goldberg was in his wedding. We're all still very, very close. Goldberg's a good friend. Steve Melton's a close friend of mine. David Bakhtiari, Jimmy Smith, Jalil, Cody Crawford, Patrick Williams, like Cody Hawkins. Like the list kind of goes on. Some we communicate more than others, but the coolest part about it is you can pick right back up where you left off. Like all of us, you see each other. It's been 10 years and it's like, dude, what's going on? How's your family? Oh, you got kids? Like it's really, those are the best, most of the best relationships in my life are people who I met and played with at Colorado.
You mentioned you have three kiddos. We have three kiddos over here as well. They're
Congrats.
teenagers now. I'm guessing your kids are a little bit younger.
Oh, yeah. My daughter's turning 4 on March 17th. My son is 2 and a half, and my future daughter is set to arrive on April 15th. So,
Awesome. Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
yeah.
Do you know the gender there yet? What's the we're
Yeah.
probably too far out there, huh?
No, we're having a girl.
Girl,
So,
okay.
gonna be my fiance Taylor. They've got us outnumbered. It's going to be 3 against me and my son Bash. So he's the outlier. It's us two.
Women energy helps you out as you get older as a man. Like it just does.
Oh.
When I had my first child, I was like hoping for a boy, and then I got a girl, and it changes your life. It does.
It absolutely does. My daughter, her name's Aspen, so she is just like so funny and cool and smart, all the things. But it definitely made me a little bit more sensitive, soft, where I'm like,
Yes,
dude, take note.
you gotta deal with that side of it too. But it's I think sometimes we need that in our lives, right?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree.
What are your hopes and goals for the future, both professionally, and what do you hope to see from CU football? That's a pretty loaded question, but you were a back-to-back best interview winner, so I think you can handle this.
Yeah, no, I think I'll start with Colorado. My hope and what I do see for the immediate future is I think Julian's going to step up in a big way. Just knowing him, knowing not only his raw talent, but the way that his mind works and the way that he's surgical on the field. He's going to make the right decisions. That's obviously the most important position on the field, to ultimately lead to the team's success. So I think watching Julian flourish with the new offensive coordinator and some of the new pieces they've added, I'm really excited about that. I think, it's undeniable the impact that Coach Prime has had on the program on so many different levels. And at the end of the day, the positive impact that he's having on these players' lives, and setting them up for success and like keeping it real with the guys at the same time. So I think having someone who's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, who's done it all, who's a dual sport, arguably the greatest athlete of all time, to come in and influence this team. I see them seeing tremendous success this year, and I'm really looking forward to that, because the world's better when Colorado's winning. Everyone knows it. Everyone rallies around it. People, the brand, people love the school. Like I live out here in Newport Beach. There are so many people from Colorado, just down go Buffs, like as we pass each other. So I think, that's what the hope is. Is like you transition, you're a player, and you do everything you can to win, and then you become a fan of the game and a fan of your former school. And I'm just super excited to see what they do because I have that personal connection with someone who's so heavily involved with the team this year, especially. And then I think from a career standpoint, I always try and position, it's like my family is the most important thing to me. So like showing up and being a great partner and being a great dad and role model to my children, because that's what I had with my parents. And I know how much that played a role in me being able to achieve certain things I have in my life. So showing up in that capacity. And then from a business standpoint, I think owning your own business and working with top athletes is it's really, really fun. There's a ton of upside, and we're continuing to build out and bring on new shows under the network. So it's kind of twofold. I'm telling premium stories with networks, whether I'm writing them or directing them or producing them, but then building out these original shows across Goat Farms, social content, our YouTube strategy. That's allowing me to work with not just top NFL players, but I just worked with Chris Henry Jr. and launched a project with him and his siblings. So seeing kind of like it start earlier for athletes, similar to how I did with Julian with this project. It's cool to see that from the inception and be able to have a hand in how that's put out there to the world and make sure it's authentic to who the players are. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is just like continue to grow the company in a way that's authentic to the players, to where they feel like their stories are being told in the right way and they're getting to monetize them appropriately at the same time.
What's the best way for Colorado fans to follow your work and support what you're doing?
So Goat Farm Media is the name of the business, Goat Farm Sports, but it's Goat Farm Media on all platforms, YouTube. Check it out. If you're a fan of football, particularly we have a show right now with Fred Warner. We got one with Cooper DeJean. The stuff that always works really well is we have a show called Drafted that I started doing in 2022. It's basically a day in the life of a top NFL draft pick. So that'll be here coming up. And then we're expanding into other sports, into basketball. So Goat Farm Media is the name of the business. Check it out. And then me, it's just Scotty McKnight.
Scotty, you're awesome, man. It's been a long time since we last caught up, and I really enjoyed this.
No, me too, Adam. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. Thanks, Scotty, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.